Thank you, brother, for that song, and what a great focus for us this evening. Well, it's a joy for me to be back at Dublin Christian Academy, a relationship that started many years ago, perhaps longer ago than even some of the students that are in here this evening before you were born. But it's always a joy to be back in a place that is being faithful to the Lord. I look out, I see a lot of friends tonight that have been a blessing to me and our family over the years. And I look out and see a lot of new faces as well. And I'm looking forward to having this opportunity this week to get to meet some new friends and minister to you God's Word. Looking forward to the time, especially with the young people over these few days. There's nothing like being able to start your year off on the right foot. And I know that's important academically, but as Pastor Emberly emphasized, it really is most important spiritually. And so that's why we're gathered this evening. That's why we'll have chapel the next few days. That's why we'll take these special, these concentrated times to meet around God's Word. And it will be exciting to see what the Lord does in our midst. So, just by way of curiosity, how many students are new to Dublin Christian Academy this year? Would you raise your hands? Okay, several. Great. Well, glad to have you here this year. And I'm sure that you will make friends quickly. Trust you won't make enemies quickly. That would not be a good thing. All right, well, let's take our Bibles this evening and open them to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7, I'll begin reading in verse 1 and read down through verse 12. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word, and say, Hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. For if ye truly amend your ways and your doings, if ye truly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if ye oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not? And come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name, and say, We are delivered to do all these abominations. Is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. But go ye now unto my place which was in Shiloh, where I did set my name at the first, and see what I did to it, for the wickedness of my people Israel." Shall we pray? Lord, we ask you tonight to help us in understanding this passage of Scripture. we are not able to discern your truth by our own effort. We need the Holy Spirit to impart to us the words of life. And so would you guide our thoughts this evening? Help us to be very diligent, to put energy into staying focused and not letting our minds wander. Help our hearts to be good soil, very tender, so that as the seed of God's Word is planted, it can be nourished there and bring forth fruit. And help our wills to be decisive. Help us, Lord, tonight to be very prompt with our obedience. We ask that your Son, Jesus Christ, would be exalted in this service. It is our desire to lift him up. And so we pray and ask these things in his name. Amen. A number of years ago, when our family was in Hawaii planting a church, one day we were walking down the streets of Honolulu and there was a crowd that was gathered on the street corner, one of the street corners. It's not unusual in Honolulu for people to be gathered around someone typically doing something weird on the streets. That's a common sight, and you almost learn to just walk by and ignore. But as we were approaching this particular street corner, I heard something that I hadn't heard on the streets of Honolulu before. It sounded like someone was preaching. I could hear the Bible being reverenced. So we got a little bit closer. Sure enough, there was a man on his soapbox, if you will, right on the corner, and he was standing up and he was proclaiming the word of the Lord. And there was actually a crowd of people that were gathered around listening to this man preach the word of God. We stood there for just long enough to realize that, well, we probably have a few differences in some of our theology, maybe some of our doctrine. There are some things I'm not quite sure about. But I don't know the man. I've been here long enough to gather a little bit of what he's preaching. But I will tell you one thing, that the man was dead right on. And about this, there can be absolutely no argument. Simply this. If you have a message that needs to be preached, and you have a message which needs to be heard, you go to preach it to where the people are. And that's exactly what God does with Jeremiah. You know where the people are gathering? They're gathering to worship in a place called the Lord's house. And as they gather there, before they ever enter the door, I want you to stand in the gate of the Lord's house where all of the people are gathering together to worship the Lord. And I want you to proclaim there this message. And here it is. Really, it can be summed up in three words. Amend your ways. And tonight, my friend, that is the message God has for you. Change
your ways.
That is a message that needs to be heard by those who claim and are interested in, by their presence here, a relationship with God. Why did that message need to be declared by Jeremiah? Well, simply put, because every day we have a choice. It has been well put this way. Just two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing yourself. And at this stage in Israel's history, they were people who claimed a relationship with God, but they were doing anything but pleasing Him. And Jeremiah made that the issue. The whole issue in your life tonight is the dichotomy that exists between your claim to be interested in a relationship with God, but a life that lives out anything but that. There is a way to settle that. Send the prophet of God, and as people enter the door to worship, say, "Amend your ways. Change the way that you are living. Make the ultimate issue of your life tonight in this service pleasing God." Now, what does that mean? Well, look at the word in your text for amend, down in verse 3 of chapter 7. It's a word that literally means to make something good or right or pleasing. When you recognize that it is crooked or wrong or off the path or skewed, amend means to take that which is wrong and to make it right. And Jeremiah the prophet is not very bashful about telling them exactly what that means in reference to their lives. In fact, he speaks against Israel concerning a number of sins. You can find them in the text. They're not hard to find. For instance, he speaks about favoritism in their judgments. He speaks about taking advantage of helpless people. He mentions the shedding of innocent blood, some of it happening even during their aspects of religious worship in sacrifices to Baal. Their children sacrificing their children. Idolatry, stealing, murdering, committing adultery, swearing falsely, burning incense to Baal, walking after other gods. He is simply saying that in their claim to know God and to have a relationship with Him, their lives do not reflect that. So he says, change. Change your life, and here are the things that you need to change. I'll be honest with you. One of the great purposes in these services is for God to point out to you, young man, and to you, young lady, the things in your life spiritually that need to be changed, the things that need to be different. And He will let you know them. Even if the preacher doesn't mention the particular sin, as Jeremiah was very adept at mentioning exactly where they had gone wrong, you still will feel like, if the Spirit of God is speaking to you and your heart is open to the Lord, you will feel like a young lady who came to me after a summer camp preaching this summer, and she said, "Your messages make me uncomfortable." I said, "Why?" She said, because it's like you know me. Hi, what's your name? I didn't know her. She was from Connecticut. I was preaching in Wisconsin. I'd never met her before in my life, but I know someone who does know her very well. Well, some of the sins that you're preaching on, did my youth pastor talk to you about me? No. How did you know then? The Spirit of God knows. And through Jeremiah, he reveals to the people exactly the areas in which they've gone wrong. And you'll be able to identify with that this week. So change your ways, amend your ways, and in doing so, he calls for them to abort, to stop their hypocrisy. One of the reasons they were not willing to change, and I'm just going to venture it for us this evening, because it's the same reason many times in our lives. We all experience this. One of the main reasons they were not willing to change is because they became satisfied with a certain amount of religious ritual and sacrifice they were continuing to go through. But I go to church. So? Well, I've been at DCA all my life. I mean, I've sat in numerous opening services, chapel, Bible class. So? Well, my family are Christians. My mom and dad, they take me to church. I've gone. This is just, it's something I've done all my life. So? And through Jeremiah, the Lord says, if you're really going to amend your ways, you have to abort your hypocrisy. You have to stop saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. You know what they're referring to? We come to the beautiful temple of God and we worship in this wonderful place. Look at me. But that's not what a relationship with God is about. You've got it wrong. Since I've last been at Dublin Christian Academy, there's the smell of new carpet and a raised roof. And padded chairs. Thank the Lord. But that's not what it's about. They were saying, we're coming to the temple. Isn't it a beautiful place? Oh, listen to the choir sing. Oh, look at the place to give our tithe and offering. Oh, look at the, if you will, using their day, that the animal sacrifices that are going on, and isn't it such a worshipful place? That's not the issue. You are neglecting the real issue. The issue is this, and he uses a very strong term here down in verse 10 and following what he says, actually in verse 10, and you come and you stand before me in this house which is called by my name, and you say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. Literally, well, it's just like we can't help ourselves. I mean, right? We were born in sin and we just so easily fall into sin and it just so besets us and... Wait a minute. Look at me. If you really wanted to do something about it, you could do something about it with God's help. And not just sit there and go through the service tonight and all the chapels this week and the rest of the school year saying, well, I just seem to be destined to spiritual failure. Well, I just can't seem to get victory over that sin. So you may as well forget preaching on it. Well, I'm just destined to struggle my whole life spiritually, and I just I may as well quit responding to the invitations. It's just not going to work for me. Yes, it will. If you want it to. God has the power to help you. He has the power to change your life. If you, in your will agree with His will and quit offering up the excuse of the temple of the Lord are these. So He says in verse 11, has my house become a den of robbers? And that's the term I want you to see. It's literally a phrase that Christ referenced in the New Testament, but it's a very strong term for robbers here. It literally means to break out or to break away from something. The Lord is simply saying that here in my house are a collection of people who, by profession, are saying, oh yes, we care about God. Oh, I'm so happy to be at Dublin Christian Academy. Oh yes, I'm very glad to sit in the opening services. Sure, preach to me the Word of God. Yes, I'm saved. I know the Lord. But in reality, when they walk out the door, it's like all of a sudden there is this radical transformation that's backward, and they just break away from the will of God that was expressed right in here. So the Lord says, has my house become a den of robbers, people who profess by my name, but in all reality, they spend their lives breaking away from my will. Lord, let me go. Let me run my own life. Some of you have said that. Lord, let me go. Quit dealing with me about that sin. I enjoy it. I want to do my own thing. Some of you are living that way. Lord, quit speaking to me about surrendering my life to full-time service. This is my career choice. And some of you have said that. And you're here with a Bible on your lap, claiming to be God's child. Could it be that in the very house called after God's name, there is a person who is really breaking away from God's will upon their life? So the Lord reminded them, you know that place called Shiloh where my name was at the first? Do I need to reference what I did to Shiloh, how it was destroyed because of that attitude? Tonight, what's it going to be? Pleasing God or pleasing yourself? Young man, change your ways. Young lady, God is asking you to live differently, to abort your hypocrisy and to conform your life to His will. It's the only way you'll ever truly be happy. If you don't, there's only one thing you can possibly do. Instead of pleasing God, you will provoke God. And that's the next point the prophet makes. All right. If you're not interested in pleasing God, then the next logical conclusion is that God will be provoked. Now, mind you, God is interested in a relationship with you. He does care. That's why He's brought some of you from halfway around the world, if you will, to study right here. Because He wants to expose you spiritually to what you need to be. That's why for others of you, you have a family that actually moved into the area and is putting you in this school. There's God's providence in that. He's interested in you. That's why others of you have parents that literally, during your high school years, have said, we will tolerate you living out of our house in a faraway, distant land, if you will, and we'll pay for you to go there. Why? Because God cares. Because He really is very interested in your relationship with Him. In fact, He reminds through Jeremiah the people Israel of this truth. Look down in verse 13. And now, because ye have done all these works, saith the Lord, now know, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking. Look down at verse 25. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Look at verse 23. This I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God. And you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Young people, I will remind you of the same thing this evening. God cares about your well-being. If anyone wants you to be happy and enjoy your life and to love living it, God does. He's very interested in you and He cares deeply about your relationship with Him. I sent the prophets, all of them, over and over and over and over again, and all of them spoke my word because I love you and I care for you. I just want your best. But they provoked God to their shame. In fact, again, look at the responses in verse 13. But ye heard not, and I called you, but ye answered not. Look at verse 18. They continued in their idolatrous ways. I mean, even as a whole family, the children gather wood. The fathers kindle the fire. The women knead the dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods that they may provoke me to anger. So, verse 24, they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart and went backward and not forward. Verse 26, they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Verse 28. So say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. A stubborn heart will only lead to your shame. And you know how shameful it gets? When the truth of God being preached doesn't even have a chance. Just tell them. The truth has perished. It's like it's cut off. I'm not even going to try to get their attention anymore. Look at me. Is that you? God's been speaking and speaking and speaking and speaking to you because He loves you so much. But it gets to the place where a stubborn heart gives truth no chance. I'll tell you about a young man like that last week. Frederick, Maryland. Senior. Every single service, and I spoke twice a day, Tuesday through Friday. Sat in the back row of the chapel. Just the back row that they could sit on, about halfway back in the church. Head down. Most of the time. If it wasn't down, arms crossed, leaning back on the pew. A lot of times I had to say, just to get him to look at me, hey, catch my eye. And he might look up for maybe 10 seconds and he's back to his same old thing. Good athlete. Decent soccer and basketball player. But can I tell you something? It's like the truth had no chance. In fact, later on in the week, one of the faculty members related to me, oh, yeah. He's just always the same. He's never changed in our school. And he's a senior. He's been in the school since first grade. Oh, I see what's happening. God has spoken so many times because He's genuinely interested, but a stubborn heart keeps refusing the voice of God, and finally it comes to the point where you can have the pastor stand up, you can have the administrator stand up, you can have an opening services where it's very intense spiritual environment. You can go to camp. Everyone can stand on their head. They can preach till they're blue in the face. But you know what you're going to get? You're going to get the same result every time. The truth has no chance in a stubborn heart. It won't happen. There will be no change. And that's how you provoke God. Sometimes when I have occasion to be off the road for several weeks, maybe a period like Thanksgiving to Christmas, that's a time where evangelists don't get a lot of meetings, I'll pick up a little side work with a man who has a heating and air, electrical and a plumbing business. Sometimes we are running copper pipe underneath a house. It's flexible to a degree. Sometimes you need to bend it just a little bit to get it around an obstacle so you can keep running the pipe. But if you bend it too far, it kinks and it's no good. My friend, even God will only bend so far. And then that's it. So, please God. That's the issue tonight. It's the issue for the rest of your life. Please God, don't provoke Him with a stubborn heart. Because if you do, and now this is critical, I remind you, a stubborn heart that provokes God and gives truth no chance to prosper, from that point, every time you walk in those doors, the only thing that you are doing is polluting God's house. That's all. You're just defiling the place by which God calls His name. You are just bringing uncleanness into a place that is set aside to be holy. Jeremiah said down in verse 30, "For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it." Verse 32, "Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. For they shall bury in Tophet till there be no place, and the carcasses of this people shall be meat for the fowls of heaven and for the beasts of the earth, and none shall fray them away. And then will I cause to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem the voice of mirth, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate." My friend, remember this. Your rejection of God's man that stands in the pulpit and preaches to you the truth is your rejection of God. Don't walk into the house of the Lord and bring your pollution, your stubborn heart, where truth has no chance to prosper. The Lord was disgusted with their abominations, and He said, "I will make it a desolation." The very place of their idolatry, where they committed their sacrifices and other things, the Lord said, "That will be the place of your downfall, and it will no more be called Tophet. It will be called the Valley of Slaughter. In that place that you sinned, it's right there that I will destroy you." And the very sin that you reject tonight and have a stubborn heart about is the very sin that will bring your downfall. The place that you choose to place your idols and you don't change your ways is the place that God will allow to destroy your life. I heard this once. It fits well here. The sins that we excuse will return to accuse. I heard this on a radio program, a preacher preaching. A man cheated on his wife. It caught many people by surprise, except one person. And that is someone who, when he was in college, cheated on an exam and never got caught. The thing that I do now and somehow think that I can still come in and worship God and everything will be okay, and that preacher doesn't know specifically, and I can hide that and let it go, and I'll come to all the chapels this year, and I'll have my Bible, and I'll sing the songs they announce, and I'm worshiping in the temple of the Lord. I'm here in God's house. The very sin that you excuse, that you think you're going to get by with, that God's truth speaks to you about, and you let go, and you deny, and you excuse, that very sin is the thing that will destroy your life. So really tonight there's only one option, to listen to the prophet of God, in this case Jeremiah, who stood in the gate of the Lord's house with a message to be heard, where the people are gathered to hear it. And it's simply this: amend your ways. Shall we pray?